records every channel separately as a FLAC file and saves it for you, so I don't have to get out my other laptop that's held together with duct tape and set it into recording mode.
Duct tape? What? Duct tape.
Duct tape. The tape that you put on ducts.
It's not duct tape, it's duct tape.
You put it on ducts. You know what? Duct tape sounds about as stupid as demon's souls, so I'm just gonna keep saying duct tape.
I hate demon's souls. Why did they call it that? Why not just demon's soul? No, that's even worse.
Demon souls.
I call it demon's souls.
Because it sounds... Why don't you say duct tape then, instead of duct tape?
Duct tape is a... infinitely inferior duct tape.
Well, anyway.
I think you're wrong on this.
I'm wrong. My opinion is correct.
His opinion is correct.
Well, his opinion, he can, you know, suck it.
My opinion is a physical entity. Higgledy piggledy.
Flying, it's not.
Wiggledy work. Defend the queen.
Higgledy
back,
tiggledy
son of
wiggledy whack.
Higgledy piggledy do the electric glue and those things.
Right, that's when.
My opinion is rated by the Queen.
I don't tell her that.
Stop making fun of Wan! Hello and welcome to Gentlemen Discussing Video, the only podcast still made from 99% pure sausages, and the official podcast of lunchtime.org.uk in partnership with gatheryourparty.com. My name is Katzman, and today I am joined by Dodds.
Hello.
Juju.
Hello.
Reinforcements.
Hey guys.
Shawnee. That's your cue.
I forgot to push the button. Hi.
Taco Man.
Hi.
And Zedman's Jams.
Well, good day to you all.
Dogs, play me to the desk. That was awesome. Alrighty, I'm going to begin with a news in which I recite my own stupid one-sided interpretations of things that happened in the past month and hopefully get corrected by everyone. Beloved Nintendo game designer and all-around good guy Shigeru Miyamoto, or Shiggy M. Diggy to use his rapper name, recently said something that might surprise you. I have very much enjoyed Angry Birds, especially the way in which it combines traditional and new game elements in exciting ways. Angry Birds is a very simple idea, but it's one of those games that I immediately appreciated when I first started playing, before wishing that I had been the one to come up with the idea first. Gentlemen, do you wish that Miyamoto ripped off a free Flash game from the mid-00s and went on to make billions of dollars?
Only if he had Mario.
What if he's the guy
who
made the idea in the mid-00s?
I can't remember who the guy who made the idea was. It wasn't the Angry Birds guys, it was some tower... It's some Flash game called Break the Tower or Defend the Castle or something. I don't know.
Oh, Defend the Castle was pretty good, but that was a little bit different.
Shigeru Miyamoto is still from glorious Nippon, and he might not know the whole intonation behind how Angry Birds was created. However, I still can understand what he means. I mean, how revolutionary would Mario seem if he came out today? The first Super Mario Bros.
If there had been no games like it, or if we'd had platformers for ages?
If we've had platformers for ages.
Well, it would seem like indie hipster garbage that's trying to be cool by being retro.
I think what he's trying to get at is that, you know, somebody came up with this idea. It's simple, caught everybody's attention, it caught on fast, and it made a shitload of money. I think what he's trying to get at is that he just wanted to be...
He admires
the fact that, you know, somebody came up with such a great idea, and he admires that. He likes the idea, and he just wishes he could have been the guy.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing.
I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that, you know, the game was, you know, taken from an idea that was made of a Flash game back in 2000. I think he admires the game, and he, you know, and he's a creative guy, you know, he's the guy who made fucking, you know, Mario and Zelda and all that stuff. Being, you know, creative, he just wants to be as creative as he wants to be, like, the most creative person there.
I think he's too humble. Like, Nintendo's handhelds are being facing unjustly stiff competition from this bunch of shitey iPhone games and Cannibalt. And yet he still takes the opportunity to compliment this bunch of people who just ripped off a popular idea. What the hell?
Well, he does mention later on in the interview, like, I don't know if he's just jokingly saying it, but he says something about the controls just being a little fuzzy. And he says, well, you know, if it had been made for Nintendo's handhelds, well, we could have improved on that, ho ho ho. No, they might have. They might have. It's the same idea, really.
Well, that figures because always, usually when Nintendo makes a game, the controls are like airtight. Or should I correct myself? If Shigeru Miyamoto makes a game, the controls are airtight.
Shiggy M.
Diggy. He made some pretty tight games.
Tight games.
Some tight games, Shiggy. Some tight games.
Do you think the only reason that Miyamoto isn't making Angry Birds type games is that he's, like, expected not to by people who have been playing Nintendo since the 80s?
No, I think the reason why Shiggy doesn't make these kind of games is because he wants to be innovative in the way he works.
But, I mean, he obviously admires the concept and the simplicity of it all, and I can't help but thinking he feels like he's under pressure to make, like, more complicated games just because that's what his pedigree is in and what he's meant to do.
Yeah, if you take a look at Mario, I mean, Mario literally started off as, you know, the side-scroller, run to the right, hit blocks, jump on things. And then you get games like Super Mario Galaxy, and it's far more complex than what it started off as. And he just appreciates the fact that in this day and age, video games are like, you know, 50 buttons and 1,000 different things you need to learn for each game. It was literally just take a bird back and blow some pigs up in some buildings and shit.
It's not entertaining. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who has Angry Birds. It's just, well, you
don't
thing
see it
back
as entertaining, but like I said,
it and the thing falls down with physics, rinse and repeat a million times.
But all the hipsters in the cafes, the millions of dollars that they are generating.
Hey, I love Tetris.
They're saying otherwise.
Tetris is deep.
Balls deep.
Yeah, it's really deep. You can't make Angry Birds deep in the same way that Tetris can be. You can't play Angry Birds competitively.
Angry Birds can't be Tetris deep. But I think it's just that he appreciates the fact that in a day and age where, you know, consoles and AAA titles are, you know, complex, somebody's out there, indie gamers are coming up with just simple ideas and people are just, you know, clinging on to them.
But the mobile phone industry is destroying the handheld consoles!
Well, you know my views on the 3DS. And you probably, I've complained to this about a million times before that I like the DS, but I don't see why it needed to be 3D, because 3D is a pointless and stupid fad that adds nothing.
Well, it was the gimmick is the selling point. They made a Nintendo DS with an analog stick and better processing power, but, you know, how are they going to sell that? Well, let's make it pop out, you know?
Yeah, but the DS had the whole touchscreen gimmick, and that actually, you could make different types of games that utilize the touchscreen controller. What sort of games can you make that utilize a 3D display?
It looks pretty if it doesn't hurt your eyes.
True.
In my experience, it hurts my eyes most of the time, though. You know, it's very hit and miss 3D. Some people, you know, they go, I'm okay with it. While other people go, oh, my eyes are bleeding!
Yeah. Well, the amount of time that I actually use 3D is, like, you know, like maybe a percent of the time that I've been playing these games. I just flick it on just for shits and giggles, really.
Yeah, same here. I don't really use the 3D.
Too hard to focus sometimes. Just sort of like, oh man, everything's moving in, and, you know, fuck, my 5 brain cells can't process all this. Back to normal.
I don't know. I kind of think lots of people are buying games on iPhone and Android now. I don't know whether they're buying them instead of games on a proper handheld console. I don't think they are somehow, but I'm very disappointed at how few good games there are on those platforms. The only ones I've really run into are the ones on the Humble Android bundle.
However, I think the reason why I don't want a game on my cell phone is because I enjoy my cell phone with battery.
Well, people buy these games for their iPhones and stuff just to, have something to do on the bus or, at just times where they're just sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think it is. I think that them buying games like on their phones, they probably don't buy the phone and go, hey, I'm going to buy a ton of games for this. They're probably just like slowly impulse buying them every so often just because they're bored and want something to do. And that little game for 99 cents will be just enough entertainment to get them through that hour-long wait of whatever.
Well, it's probably mostly, like 14-year-old kids who had their parents buy them an iPhone for Christmas.
Oh, fuck. I hate those. Oh, God.
I met a female coworker who's buying her, like, 4-year-old kid an iPad for Christmas.
What's he going to do with an iPad? When I was 4 years old, we had Matchbox cars.
Yeah, and she said that she's doing it because she doesn't want him playing on her phone.
Rural of a village do you live in?
What?
She's not rich at all. She works at a movie theater. Last I checked, she was possibly going through a divorce. Oh, goodness.
Going through a divorce, buying an iPhone, iPad. Oh, gosh. What is the world coming to?
It was pretty crazy.
Well, like when I was working at Best Buy as the security guy there, I know a lot of the guys there were like 10 or 20 grand in debt, and then a TV would go on clearance or something and be like, oh man, that $5,000 TV is only $1,000 now. I'll just put that on my credit card. And it's like, dude, didn't you just say you owe the bank like $15,000? Well, yeah, but I can pay that off later. Now your debt is like $16,000. You goof.
I'm just very happy that we don't have that system in Sweden, like, at all. If you're going to take something on credit, you have to at least have been working for 1 year.
That's good. I only use my credit card to buy games on the internet.
I have a debit card.
Pay that back.
My bank.
Yeah, Canada doesn't use the same system with that.
My bank offered to upgrade it to a credit card, and I was like, no. At least I think that's what happened. My bank keeps pestering me because I'm one of those people who saves money instead of spending it, and they're like, we'd like to invite you in for a cup of tea and a chat about your savings account, and I'm like, no. So I know they're going to try and funnel the money somewhere.
Catspan, you live in Brithman, they're going to go, hey, you have money in your bank, we want that money, give it to us now.
We have to fund these SAM missiles to put around on your rooftops and shit for the Olympics.
Oh, fuck the Olympics. That's going to be a complete nightmare.
That's not video games, so we won't get into that.
No, I don't want to get into that.
The only sports I like is esports.
In the olden days. I quite enjoy watching StarCraft 2 matches, Strange as it sounds. I don't even like StarCraft.
Oh, I play League of Legends, of course. I know all about esports, no problem.
Yeah, I watch fighting game tournaments, like, at least once per week.
I would like to see esports in the Olympics.
Oh, man. Just a giant screen in the middle of the...
I watch video game streams because I like watching people have fun, not being serious about video games.
Exactly.
Yeah, sometimes it's nice to have a bit of both, There's nothing wrong with being serious about games, You only get serious about a game if you initially enjoy the game. You're like, oh, I really like this game. I want to really improve on this game. I want to be really good at it, because I think this is a good game. For no reason.
That's fine and everything.
As long as you're still having fun, go for it. I hope you make $1 million off of having fun playing a game.
That you're saying it is like... I've spent hours and hours getting good at this guitar. I instead of I'm just going to sit at home and playing it because I think it's fun, instead of like playing it for other people.
But that's different. That's music.
No, it's pretty much the same thing. People have been practicing these games for hours and hours. If they want to play it competitively, they can do it. I mean, playing a game competitively, it just adds to the fun of it, according to me.
I'm too casual for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm too casual.
I think that's just it. It's just my ideology on it is video games are for fun, not for...
Well, esports is also kind of tough to get into, because there's only a few, like, video game pros that are actually making enough money to, like, live off of it.
Yeah, most of them are quite poor, I think.
Especially like, a daytime job.
Because I know, like, League of Legends has got, like, they've become really big with streamers, like, the pros will stream games, and there's only, like, a handful of them that make enough from streaming to make a living, and they need like 50,000 viewers or 20,000 viewers. And that's if they remember to play ads.
Well, there have been times when I've popped into live stream and, you know, see what's on their live player, and it's like you see StarCraft streams with like 10,000 viewers. So it's not just a small community, at least, that, you know, watches this. It's a very large audience.
No. Like I said, like, there are people who get like 50,000 viewers, but it's so rare. There's only like that one person who's really got 50,000 viewers, or those two people. And so those are the two people who can live off of streaming League of Legends in this case.
So on the other hand,
they're just
right,
the top contenders.
Even if it's something you really enjoy, if you start, this is a psychological effect, if you start doing it as a job, then you begin to enjoy it less, just because your brain subconsciously reassesses why you're doing it. And if you were doing it for fun, you're doing it for a job now, your brain goes, oh, well, I'm not doing this for fun anymore, I'm doing it because I have to live, therefore I'm not going to enjoy it, and you just stop. And then it becomes another part of the daily grind along with everything else.
That's why you play video games with friends.
Yeah, it becomes so an obligation, not an enjoyment, not a pastime. It's an obligation.
I played Mario Kart with friends. Now I don't have any friends anymore.
The effect of Mario Kart.
I played Mario Party once
friends.
I played Mario Party with friends once. Now I don't have any friends.
I believe that Blake genuinely did punch Matthew Dodds at the end of one Mario Party match.
Oh,
it's happened. It's happened to everybody.
I feared for my safety on one of those days. You know,
did you
it's
really?
Not uncommon. With
well, maybe you should have stolen someone's star and then gloated about it.
You're playing a game and you're just like, oh, I'm in the right mindset. I stole your star, bitch. You know, no. I'm winning and you're in last place. What's that? You're going to lose
cheeky.
All your coins to this boo as well? Pff, fuck you.
It's impossible to play anything Mario Party with him. It really Kart. Is.
Who says that's video games don't make people violent?
Yeah, they do. They totally do. Mario Party convinced me to murder a whole school full of children, and nobody knows about that still.
Well now all of
well,
us.
Well, if you grew up in a village with fucking matchbox cars, like, yeah, probably.
Hey, don't knock matchbox cars.
Yeah, matchbox cars are awesome.
You know, right? In ancient sort of Greek Olympics, in the original Olympics, they had categories for, like, writing and calligraphy and poetry. And art and shit like that.
But that's how pretty can you write shit?
But that's not masculine. Why would you compete in that?
Because it's fun. And it's more interesting because than just fun. Running in a circle. Oh, look at me. I ran in a circle 0.87 seconds faster than you. Na-na-na-na-na. Oh, great job.
Oh, great job.
Catsman.
Yes?
It was a joke.
Wait, what?
I was being ironic.
I would totally go to the London Olympics if there was a category like that.
I wouldn't,
too.
Because I know everybody's better at me than writing.
Everyone's better at me than writing.
My handwriting is atrocious.
Yeah, my handwriting is worse, Tucker Man, trust me.
Chicken scratch right here.
No, we write daily reports, and that's usually just fine, because if you need to know what's going on, people just read your report to see what's happening or just to check in on what's going on. People need my reports. They email me and say, hey, what happened today? Me, please, don't write it. Type it up next time or something. Just, you know, but we're not allowed to type them. We have to write them up.
The only thing that I really write these days is, like, birthday cards. And whenever I write someone a birthday card, even if it's just, dear name, happy birthday from Rob, I still have to read out what it says because they can't read it. You hear that that Zynga bid $2 billion for Angry Birds and that Rovio didn't sell to them.
I thought Zynga died.
No, Zynga is alive and kicking and being evil.
Who is Zynga?
Zynga's the Farmville and Cityville dudes.
Oh.
Oh, I thought you said... Never mind. Zynga not. Okay. Zynga. I thought you said Zynga.
Not Zynga, not that thing like, from... was it? Bang Theory?
Bazinga. I only know that because I know someone who watches Big Bang Theory and put it on in front of me and made me watch it. He also watches Friends.
Zynga's still alive too. Figure.
I don't know what that is.
It was like the social networking site before MySpace. Right side by side with like Bebo or whatever it was.
Did anyone actually use that?
Some kids at my school did. They actually got banned from school because it was blocked on the website. They found a way around it, so they got in trouble and got banned. I thought it was the silliest thing.
That's ridiculous.
I've never had a social networking site profile, though, so whatever.
So anyway, so these guys who make, like, the most casual forms of gaming to buy...
They tried to buy Angry Birds... But the thing that gets me is Rovio didn't sell to them, right? They think that Angry Birds is worth more than $2 billion.
Well, they're making, like, Angry Birds in space now. And maybe next will make Angry Birds Steampunk and Angry Birds Prehistoric and Angry Birds Lunchboxes.
$2 billion, that's a lot of money.
Along with the games and shit, you've also got to remember there's all the crap they put out, like, you know, those stuffed dolls and the marketing and shit.
How many people work on Angry Birds?
I saw a kid wearing one of those in the street. I was so tempted to start yelling abuse at him.
You probably should have. I mean, you should have probably beat some sense into his parents.
No. Maybe they just don't want to sell to a company that actually has children's blood on their hands.
I know what you mean. Most companies lap up the opportunity to be bought by Zynga. Maybe these guys just had too much integrity.
$2 billion.
What do they like? Read their business fortunes with the entrails of orphans or something?
I'll get on as to why Zynga is so evil, but they are they're a terrible company comprised of terrible people who don't care about the quality of what they make and reduce all their games to Skinner boxes and try to milk every last drop of money out of the people who play them.
Well, they're the guys who make the Facebook games and shit. Like, everything about that is just micro-purchasing. It's, you know, what it is. That's how they make their money.
They do it in a dishonest way.
Farmville is also very addictive to people because you have to, like, check it daily to be able to get the most out of it. And then you have to slowly and steadily buy things, so yeah, it's a terrible, terrible and evil way to make any kind of money. Also, well, they have caused people's deaths.
Really?
So yeah.
Really?
Yes, I think I read somewhere that there was a mom that let her child die in the bathtub because she was busy playing Farmville.
I think it's a bit hypocritical.
I don't blame the company. I blame the mom for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'd blame the parents for that.
The parents are garbage.
I mean, it's like this story that I don't know if it's true. I highly doubt it. that, like, back in the 80s or some shit, this kid was convicted of killing his flatmate or his roommate or something because he played, they both played Dungeons and Dragons. And he thought if he killed him, he would, like, drop sick loot or something. I really don't know.
What?
But, you know, they were blaming because... They were blaming the murder because they played Dungeons and Dragons. And it's happened, it's like, oh, you know, school shootings, they, you know, let's blame fucking Call of Duty, or, oh, let's blame this and that. It's yeah, not the video games, it's the individual.
Yeah, but we still have been talking about this for every podcast, but still.
Oh, right,
I'd play Zynga on this one, because they are evil.
Yeah, Zynga are evil. I think we could all agree on that. It makes yep. playing games into a second job, basically. That's the idea. A second job that you have to pay for. Next news item. Now, as you may know, OMG Pop is a clingy video game company that never stopped sending me emails just because I played one game of Draw Something with Sanwaro and Co. back before it was cool. You might not know that, but there it is. What you probably do know is that they were recently bought by Zynga, which is that filthy, morally bankrupt developer behind Farmville, Cityville, and Skinner Box Simulator 2011. Every single developer who worked at OMG Pop took up the offer, except one. Shay Pierce, who did not want to join the company for personal reasons. In response, OMG Pop CEO Dan Porter tweeted... The one OMG Pop employee who turned down joining Zynga was the weakest one on the whole team. Selfish people make bad games. Good riddance. Determined to turn one asshole tweet into a full-blown bitch fit, he followed up his tweet with, "What's so interesting about success is the number of failures who try to ride on your back. Shay Pierce is just one of many." Gentlemen, what would you do if you worked at a video game company and the CEO was that one kid who bullied you in secondary school and was later arrested for shooting up heroin in the toilets?
I would sue the shit out of him.
Yeah, I'd fucking bring something up about that because that's fucking just, you know, rude and shit.
Didn't we just especially make the fun fact of that he singles them out with by suing name. Everyone?
Yeah, sorry, know, that was just, my bad.
Like, I mean, if you like, I mean, if you're making, you know, talking shit about somebody, I mean, as long as you don't mention it, it's like, yeah. And, but the thing is, he's a fucking CEO. He's like, he's got an important role within the company, and here he is, literally, like, it's like, Shay sucks dick. He was bad for the company, anyways. And it's like,
yeah,
oh,
we
fucking
don't need him.
It's like, calm down, buddy. I mean. You can say, it's like, you know, try and be, you know, have some fucking tact. Like, say, we lost an important member of our team. We hope for the best for him. Too bad he sucks dick. I mean, that's, he wasn't even doing that. He just skipped the, you know, it's like giving somebody a shit sandwich. You got the bread, you got the shit, you got the bread. He just got rid of the bread and gave everyone shit. Or gave him shit, more specifically.
Is it just me, or do professional people just use Twitter to bitch about things more lately?
Yeah,
I think everybody uses Twitter to bitch about things.
But nobody who's like the head of a business is able to use Twitter responsibly without, like, screaming abuse at everyone.
It's I don't know, it's horrible. They're just all a bunch of screaming children.
Isn't
here they
it...
are at the top of the corporate ladder, and it's like, wow, we literally have 12-year-olds running... These companies, what the fuck?
There is
they're just spoiled brats.
There was a fairly well-known psychological study done recently that showed that, it wasn't psychopathy, but it was, what's the one where you can't perceive
psychopathy?
Where you can't perceive other people as having emotions and reasoning and
psychopath.
No.
Sociopathy,
that's the one, yes. It was extremely highly represented in the CEOs and upper management of Fortune 500 companies simply because sociopaths possess the traits necessary to get themselves into those positions.
It's because they don't care. You can't have a heart. You're not allowed to have a heart if you want to be successful in the corporate world.
Otherwise,
you realize all the lives you're stepping on.
There are some people who are really nice who are very successful in the corporate world, you know.
Google.
But, well, I don't know about Google, actually.
I love Google. They're so nice.
I don't know anything about individuals at Google. They just come across as one big entity to me, you know. I don't know, like, the CEO's name or anything. It's just, that's
it's
Google.
Larry Page and Sergey Brin.
They'll be evil. Like if, it's all that matters.
Like, if you look at people like, you know, Steve Jobs. Everybody loves Steve Jobs. Oh,
no,
Steve
don't.
Jobs, he was so great. No, but everyone did. And then,
no,
you kind of figure out, and then you hear, like, wait, no, Steve Jobs was a douchebag.
He drove his car with no license plate to work every morning and then parked in the disabled spot in the car park. What a jerk.
Really?
Yeah, really. That was his morning routine.
Why would you drive to work without a license plate? You can get fucking arrested for that.
No, there was some sort of loophole in the law that said that if you have a car that's this new, then you can drive without a license plate. So he just used to change over his car every couple of months so that he could do that.
Well, he's rich enough to do that.
Shit,
that was getting...
That's really all I have to say to that. That's pretty sweet. I'm not gonna lie. If you're that rich,
how can I really be a fucking douchebag to the cops? I know, I'll just buy a new car every 2 months and not have to put a license plate on it.
I mean, it wasn't
wow,
cool
Steve
that he parked
Jobs.
In the handicap spot, but it's, I mean, if you're that rich, that's kind of funny. I'd do that. Buy a new car every day, just not have a license plate. It's such a silly thing, that, but oh man.
It is funny, but it still makes you a douche.
He was a douche. Well, he was a douche.
I thought
Steve
he was
Jobs
a douche
was
before it was cool.
A douche. I never gave a shit about Steve Jobs until, you know,
this conversation.
I just more or less. I just sort of like I heard on the you know I was reading you know the BBC where I get all my news, and BBC was literally like this just in: Steve Jobs was apparently a big fucking douchebag, and we can make fun of him now because he's dead. Okay.
I prefer to remember Steve Jobs is that he was apparently the Antichrist.
He wasn't that bad. He wasn't as bad as some people who in business, but I mean, I don't know. It just seems like these are the sort of people who are representing these large companies to the world. People who say shit like, "What's so interesting about success is the number of failures who try to ride on your back." How smug can you get?
Well, you can get that smug, and then there's probably a little smugger than that.
His company just friggin' remade Pictionary for the iPhone. That's all they did, literally.
Look how successful I am. I'm the CEO of a company. Not a great company, but okay, I guess if you see that as being some life achievement, sure.
Well, Zynga bought them, so they must pump out a load of money somehow.
Somehow, I guess. Maybe the guys at the Zynga market board were just really drunk that day, and they're like, hey, I got a good idea. Buy this company. Yeah, fucking do it.
Some people just
sure
have superiority
happened complexes. Really, this man was one of them.
So, this guy, not Dan Porter, who's the other guy? Oh, I forgot his name. Someone help me out here.
Pierce.
Mr. Pierce, I'm going to call him because I can't remember his first name. Do you think he was wrong not to join Zynga? Like, there are a lot of really famous developers who have been making games for like 20 years who have gone to Zynga and are now rich as fuck on Zynga's dirty Skinner box money, and they maintain that they have, in fact, not sold their souls.
Well, it was his own choice. He decided not to, and I mean, if you, like, let's say you worked for a company that made fake fur coats, and you got bought out by a company that makes real fur coats, and you said, well, no, I'll be making more money, but I don't, you know, and I don't accept their policies.
Wait, what?
It's sort of, I'm making a really bad metaphor here.
Why would a company that makes real fur coats buy a company that makes fake fur coats?
I really don't know. How is it that a company like Zynga still exists? It just happens.
Because people give them lots of money. I wouldn't wear a fake fur coat, because so at some point someone will get really pissed off at me because they'd think it was real.
Happened.
And dump fake blood on me. And I'd go, is this real blood? And I'd go, no. And I'd go, well, I thought it was.
Of course it is.
So I'm going to dump fake fur coats on you.
Well, okay, anyways, let me just restart then. He didn't agree with the policies of Zynga. he didn't like them. Maybe he was just some angry neckbeard who was like, I joined this company to make video games, not money. And he left, because he wanted to do his own thing.
If Zynga offered me a job, I would take it.
Well, I'm reading the article right now, and apparently someone from OMG Pop actually sent like an email to a website called Business Insider about this whole thing. And they said that his resign was convenient, because apparently he took long lunches, his coding was poor, and right before the team was about to release our new Facebook game, he took off for a week to promote his own game at GDC, right when all their team was like working late shifts and stuff, you know, to prepare for it.
Sounds a little
bit of a turnt anyways, woohoo.
Yeah, but this still, could just be like breakup bitching, you know, it could be anything, but you know, apparently he was going to get fired shortly, you know, before they got brought anyway.
Well, that's fine, that's fair enough. You don't have to go on Twitter and fucking call him a scumbag that's riding on the back of success.
He seems like an okay guy to me.
Left.
He just really cared about his little indie game that he was making in his spare time and didn't really care about what OMG Pop did, quite rightly, because it was just his day job.
Yeah, it was his day job. He went there 9 to 5, didn't give a fuck.
The epilogue to this is that Pierce was... Oh, wait, no. Dan Porter was made fun of by Notch, which puts him right at the bottom of the Twitter personality food chain. He then offered a half-hearted apology and went back to Scrooge McDucking piles of money. In this market, unfortunately, the consoles kind of dictate the PC. These are the words of Scott Kester, lead concept designer for the upcoming Borderlands 2, who apparently thinks that other developers remove and cut features from their games so they'll work better on consoles. But not Gearbox, obviously. He continues, "We're proud to say that we're one of the few developers that put a lot of effort into the PC. Since we all come from that background, we make sure not a single system is compromised in development." Which must therefore explain Duke Nukem's horrible, horrible mouse cursor capturing issues, or Borderlands 1's multiplayer being practically broken on launch. Do you think that PC ports are really being sidelined and neglected, as Gearbox claim?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, the running joke is, oh, consoles are holding PC gaming back. Well, you know.
Are they?
The thing about consoles, not entirely. I wouldn't say so. It's just that if you have a game that you're developing for a console, and then you translate it over to a PC, you know, chances are there's going to be some bugs. And then people just don't want to spend the extra time and money fixing those bugs. Because they've already got a perfect version working for the console.
I will empathize with developers and not sound like a whiny asshole, because developing for PC is genuinely far more difficult than developing for a console, just because you've got to take into account all the different types of hardware and all the configurations and all the operating systems that you want your game to be able to run on.
Also, there's a money aspect to it then. They see consoles as, you know, we can make one or two versions of this game instead of having to worry about, you know, driver issues and stuff like that, or new technology coming out, because, you know, consoles stay the same for like 10 years or, you know, and then they come out with a new console, and then you need to start worrying about, well, now we need to build something new. But, you know, PCs are changing every day. Another thing is, people probably want to develop for consoles more because, you know, obviously piracy. More people are more likely to pirate PC games, even though it's just as easy to fucking pirate console games. But people see it more as a money issue.
I think you forgot to mention sort of the large market share on console games as well, you know. You know,
Don't start with that rubbish, Dodds. Neither Steam nor any of the other prominent digital distributors have released sales figures, so it's impossible to know how much PC games are selling compared to console games, so don't even go there.
Well, a lot more households have, you know, consoles than actual, you know, gaming computers. Like, sure, almost every household has a computer in it, but, you know, I'd say more households have dedicated gaming consoles than dedicated gaming computers.
Yeah, but you don't have to have a dedicated gaming computer to run even high-end games, you know. you can put something together for, that's like I was saying to Wan that he would not understand at all. You can put something together for £400 or £500, which is about the amount you'd spend on a decent desktop computer that can run games perfectly fine. And if you've got a crappy one, you can just spend £100 and slam a nice GPU in there and get going straight away. You know, it's not a lot of effort.
I like Wan, by the way.
I like Wan as well.
In fact, I have a man crush on Wan. Where did the Lightning Queen's Guardian go? Miss him already.
I miss Wan. Things haven't been the same since the incident.
Did you get Wan pregnant?
Now I think he's talking about the other incident.
The incident.
You know, that.
Whenever he called me Z-Mans and not Z-Mans.
That wasn't the incident, but that was an affront to civilized society, I thought. British people should say Zed.
I like the word Zed.
It's our letter. We invented it. We should use it. I like that C rhymes with the alphabet song, though, that said.
Also, zebra, not zebra.
I quite like zebra, because if you mate a horse and a zebra, you get a zebroid, and that's just sort of a cool word, zebroid.
My bad. I kind of went off topic there.
Yeah. We were talking about consoles and PC games.
It doesn't really matter.
Also, in the email, you said Gearbox hates PC gamers and black people. How did you come up with that, or was that just an irrelevant...
I got bored while writing the titles for these things.
Because I was expecting to see, you know, like Cliff Bleszinski, like, yeah, fuck PCs and black people, rah, rah, rah. And I was gonna be like, whoa, Cliff, whoa, just settle down, buddy. Like, we all just get along.
I would have liked to have heard him say that too.
These are your customers, Cliff. Marvel baby, come on, man. Like,
I don't think he really hates black people that much.
What if he just hates everybody equally? That's not racist. That's equal opportunity hating.
That probably fits somewhere in sociopath or something. It's probably how you make money.
Must explain why he's the head of a successful company then. Well, he's not really the head of the company. He's just a game designer.
He's a game designer who made a name for himself.
He did make a name for himself, and then he went and ruined it by making Gears of War.
Nope. That just solidified his spot in the new generation of casualized shooters. He's still going to be making money.
I was going to have an article in this about... It was in an interview with the Dead Space producers. They criticized Gears of War for having the worst writing of any video game ever made. Which I think is...
I could name a few more that have the worst writing ever. Saying Gears of War. I'm not saying Gears of War has, like, you know, the story of the year, all years, you know, with, you know, all my money. It's not, you know, too bad. Like, okay, bunch of guys shooting at things. There's a war. Okay, cool. I don't really know what the fucking story is, by the way. But it's not the worst story out there ever for a video game.
Ghostbusters, MES. That's pretty bad.
No, but it's pretty crappy generic, though, too.
It's the worst story that gets away with it. That's the thing. People seem to be letting it off the
hook. What is the worst story ever, then?
What is the worst story ever? Let me think about
this. The end of Mass Effect 3.
Well, didn't we have a whole podcast complaining about the ending of Mass Effect 3?
Wasn't a whole podcast, it was just most of it.
Yeah, but how many times did we come back to it? I think we had like coffee breaks talking about something else.
I'm trying to think now what the worst story I've ever encountered is. It's probably a video game story.
I wonder if Keiji Inafune has anything to say about this.
Probably anyone in my high school papers that I wrote have really bad stories. So.
Oh yeah, I write terrible stories. I'm trying to write a book this year.
Oh, Blood Rain. I just thought
Blood Rain. Which can you remind me of which one that is?
I played Blood Rain 2, I think.
It's a scantily clad woman who's a vampire and she fights Nazis.
Who are zombies.
That's cool.
I don't think they're zombies, actually. I just threw that in there for some reason.
First Resident Evil.
No, they just had bad scripting.
Go, go!
You, Jill, the master of unlocking.
You were almost a Jill sandwich.
But that's voice acting. That's a...
Yeah, but that's Jill, the master of unlocking. It wasn't a good line to begin with.
What about House of the Dead 2? That was horrible writing. But, you know, the plot was still coherent. It was like, okay, there's a zombie outbreak. Monsters. Okay, it's just, you know, the script writing sucked dicks.
Final Fantasy 1 had terrible writing. It was like, "Durr, now we throw in time travel in here just for some weird reason, because I feel like it. And we're creating paradoxes, but the paradox gets resolved because, well, you resolved it." And that's Final Fantasy 1 story in a nutshell.
What about Final Fantasy
1? Final Fantasy 1 was hard to play.
Well,
that was the best scene ever.
When I get upset about things, I just laugh like a retard.
Apparently, it makes way more sense in context than if you'd just seen it on its own. But I watched him stream that and saw it in context, and it still didn't make any sense as to why it was happening.
What is this exactly? I'm sorry. What were you saying, Catsman?
The laughing scene from Final Fantasy X.
Oh.
It was just retarded. But just the laugh itself. The laugh itself was just god awful.
Everything in Final Fantasy X is retarded.
I've seen that game now. Like, not from start to finish, but I've seen most of it twice over. And like, I don't understand what's going on. You know, I'm nominating Final Fantasy X for this award. I'm nominating Final Fantasy X.
I agree.
Just because it's so incomprehensible.
Wasn't the whole thing about the game like sin exists because of machines? And then there's like entire cities built around machinery, and then they're like, "Oh no, the All Bad are evil because they use machines. Let's go play Blitzball!" Yeah, and it's in like, a giant machine.
It's like machines are evil, but not all machines are evil. The ones that we use, they're good. But the ones that the All Bad use, they are evil and they need to die.
Yeah. That make spaceships, we make water football or soccer games. Yeah! And you can breathe underwater forever! For some reason. I don't know. Nothing about that game made sense.
You heard these rumors that Dark Souls for PC will be locked at 30 frames per second, and it might also demand a gamepad and use games for Windows Live.
Well, the gamepad, I wouldn't be too upset about, you know, demanding it. That's kind of bullshit. It's like, why would you demand that?
I don't know.
Lazy assholes.
Mirror's Edge did this, right? And I don't think I'd mind it as much for a third person action adventure game, but if you've got a first person game like Mirror's Edge, and it sits you down and it goes, right, this game has PC controls, but we're not going to tell you any of the key bindings, and all the tutorials will refer to Xbox controller buttons. It's like, seriously? Really?
Is that what they did for the PC version? Really?
Yep, it is. Wow. I couldn't play it because I kept forgetting what the controls were.
I understand. Yeah, you know, I've played Dark Souls extensively and Demon Souls as well, and that's a game where it works better with a controller. It just the way that it's built. It's a game that is very much built around a controller. But
what about people who don't want to use a controller still, you know? It's great to say the game works great with a controller, but not everyone has a controller for PC.
Well, then, unfortunately for them, they're going to get, you know, like I said, like we were talking about earlier, PC ports. This is going to be a console game to a PC, and unfortunately it won't have the dedication that the original making of the game had.
Personally, I use a fight stick for everything.
Why is this Call of Duty game so hard? High kick, this isn't working.
I was going to buy one of those until I realized that they're all 60 quid. So I love all that
horrendously expensive
games.
And I would just love a little retro arcade joystick type thing to play my arcade games with. I look online, it's like, these start at £60, what the hell? And they go up to like 200.
There was a thing I saw where it's like a little, not box, but it's just a little contraption that you put over top of your WASD. And on the top of it, a little joystick, and when you move around, it presses down on WAS and D.
Oh,
it's still like you're using
before.
A joystick, right? I thought it was kind of neat.
You should send me that.
Kind of neat, actually.
That does sound kind of cool.
It's like, haha, you know, fuck you, idiots, buying, you know, £60, you know, joystick. I just bought this on some hipster site for $2. Haha.
It feels very rewarding to hear a Canadian man say £60.
Well, I mean, that's the price you were using.
Thing about joysticks is that if something breaks on joystick, it's really easy to replace it. I mean, even I am able to replace it.
Some lady's talking over you, Shawnee.
That was the link I just sent.
Joysticks
that's,
are really...
That's the joystick.
You know, when I see the picture of it, it actually looks kind of stupid.
Oh yeah, that thing, that is it. That is indeed it.
I don't think I would enjoy using that.
I mean... On a joystick, if your stick breaks, for example, you can buy a new stick for, what, $2? And then have it sent home to you with instructions on how to replace it.
I've looked on eBay, and the cheapest sticks I can find are £10 by themselves.
Right. Why are you buying the sticks on their own from eBay? You know, there's, like, website dedicated to just buying the parts. I think that's what he's talking about, and they are quite cheap from what I've seen.
Well, can you send me one then? Because I'd quite like to... buy a cheap case fill it with buttons and joysticks.
Stick?
No, what you do is you buy an El Cheapo arcade stick or an El Cheapo case, and you take all the horrible things out and you put the good ones in.
You can just build your own arcade stick. That's probably cheaper too.
Or build your own, yeah. Be my little DIY project for the summer, you see.
But in the case of this where, you know, they're saying mandatory gamepad... That's a little silly. That's a bad business practice. And unfortunately, it's going back to the topic of not everybody is as dedicated to making a PC port of their game as, you know, other companies.
To be honest, I'm kind of willing to let them off because they don't develop for PC very much. And they had absolutely no plans to port this game to PC. And they're only doing it because people really wanted to. And they might not know what they're doing. And... I'm just kind of glad that it's on PC. But what I cannot forgive is Games for Windows Live.
Yeah, that kind of bugs me. I mean, they could have used anything else. I would have even been happy if they'd used Origin, although I would have still been upset.
Well, there's so many services out there that don't suck. There's GOG, there's Impulse, there's Steam, there's Desura. You know, there's Gamersgate. There's loads of services that aren't complete shit, and yet they go for the one that everyone hates. I own a Games for Windows Live game. I could not play it because it said that my router's NAT settings were incorrect. I could not get a refund because Steam told me that it's Microsoft's responsibility to refund me, and Microsoft did not provide me with any way of getting in contact with them and negotiating a refund.
It's rough.
Okay,
moving on.
As we all know, Apple hates you. They hate you very, very much. Their hatred burns with the brightness of 100,000 red supergiants undergoing gravitational collapse at the same time. In the latest act of dickery, they removed a game from their App Store because they were afraid that it might be a recruiting tool for pedophiles. Yes, a tower defense game about an adolescent fighting hordes of evil teddy bears was pulled after it had been online for a week because Apple thought that the game's bear enemies bore too much of a resemblance to the antiquated 4chan meme Pedo Bear. My question is, since when the hell was Pedo Bear a recruiting tool for pedophiles anyway? How the hell does that even work?
What is a recruit? How do you even get recruited to be a pedophile? Is there, like, a job in this?
I assume someone comes up to you in like, a van with free candy sprayed on the side of it. And they go, hey, I noticed you're playing that game with bears in it. You want to come join my pedophile ring?
It's like, hello, young and intrepid young sir. Have you ever been interested in molesting young children? Well, I think you ought to give it a try. It's not really something that somebody recruits you into. It's pretty sure it's a personal preference of the individual.
They're underground pedophile rings, and instead of molesting children, all they do all day is play this iOS game.
Oh my gosh. Oh well, that's corporations looking at video games and making silly judgments about them again.
Now that they found our target audience.
Well, guys, the pedophile game is off. We'll have to find a different way to recruit sick fucks.
Well, the thing that bugs me about this kind of is that Apple are treating their developers like crap. They're perpetually removing stuff from the App Store for stupid bullshit reasons, and in many cases they've crippled and or destroyed the business plans and revenue streams of small companies. And they get a free monopoly on any service they provide on their operating system, and we're meant to believe that Microsoft are the big, bad, evil corporation, and that Apple are friendly, and that they will treat you like a unique snowflake?
I've never thought Apple to be the friendly...
You used a lot of pretty words there, and I feel comfortable in Apple now.
I do know some people who do think that Apple treat them like unique, pretty snowflake and care about them, and that Microsoft is an evil corporation. Because, you know, all that money that Bill Gates gave to curing malaria and saving people's lives makes him evil.
That fiend! You could have given it to me!
Yeah, I could have used a few billion dollars.
No, but I need money!
I need money to buy video games.
I need money to buy more money.
That is how money works. I know this because I know someone who does economics.
We have a list of demands. We want more money.
Gods, buy me 200 stock in money.
All right, boss. I want to become that rich one day and just like tell my assistant, 200 stocks in more money, please.
In more money.
And light cigars with rolled up $100 bills.
Walk out of the room before they have a chance to ask me what I'm talking about and just let them shake nervously as they try to buy stocks in something.
We just got a call from the boss. Well, what is it? He wants stock in money. Did you tell him that's not possible? No, he hung up.
This is why I think what an awkward day at the office that would be. Multinational corporation, because that's exactly what would happen. Also, he would install a ball pit. I know this.
I'd work for that company.
Yeah, man, ball pits are awesome.
I'd get fired from that thing.
What is a bull pit? Like, is that just a pit full of bulls that you, I don't know, throw lackadaisical workers in? Like that Sean guy or whatever?
Oh, you never know.
Right on the back of success? Right on the back of a bull, shithead!
In this country, we have a long tradition of soft play areas for children filled with bull pits. And they all have, you have to be this short to be here size
ball
on them.
Pit.
So throughout the whole of my childhood, I noticed myself slowly approaching the "you have to be this short to go in here" sign, and it was tragic when I finally became too old and too tall to enjoy soft play areas anymore.
Did you take off your shoes just to make sure?
Go to the next town over, find a McDonald's with a ball pit, and just go in there. And they say, "Well, you're banned from the store." Joke's on you, shithead. I don't go to McDonald's. I don't even live in this town.
You know? I wish. They don't have them in fast food places over here, though. They have them in, like, barns. Crazy.
Oh, they're, like, all the fucking way over. You know, they're everywhere here. If your McDonald's didn't have a play place, you weren't going to the right McDonald's.
They're, like, huge warehouse-sized places, normally. Not, like, little McDonald's.
Oh, no, the one in the McDonald's in my hometown was fantastic. It was pretty sizable. I think the place was bigger than the actual McDonald's.
You don't need a lot of space for a McDonald's. You know, you can fit them in pretty small spaces. I don't know what point I'm trying to make here. McDonald's is a small...
I think the point is that if Dodds ever builds a company with a ball pit in it somewhere, that, yeah... actually work for him.
He must recruit me so that I may spend all day wallowing.
What if he recruits me? By the way, I thought you were saying bull pit, like bulls as in the animal.
Pit of bulls. It's probably because
your accent was throwing me off.
Your Canadian accent is throwing me off.
Once again, how's it going there?
Oh, how's it going there? I heard that company there with a ball pit, eh? Oh, that sounds right there. Oh, what's this fuck? What is this sign? Oh, shove off, hoser. You're too tall or you're going to ball pit, eh? Fucking hosers, eh?
Oh, look at the time. I can go.
Pretty sure that was Irish.
Give me a beer. I'll bring my igloo.
Too tall, on to the next ball pit, eh? Next subject. I think we're way off at this point.
But I don't care.
What was our original subject?
That's the point,
time we move on now.
If they made soft play areas for adults, then I would use them, okay?
Yeah, I would too.
Everyone should have a ball pit.
Peter Molyneux recently did a rather enlightening interview with Eurogamer about the reasons for his departure from Microsoft. It's a really interesting read, but this podcast has to be under a certain amount of time, so here's a condensed version. He didn't want to think his career had peaked with Dungeon Keeper and Black and White, or maybe Fable at a pinch. He lamented that working at Microsoft, perhaps rightly, forbade him from making any big risks. Do you think he's right? Most of the so-called risky games I've seen in the past generation have been smaller, lower budget games, and even big companies like Valve don't really want to invest a whole game's worth of time and money into content like Portal until they know it already works. You know, I remember a time, not 10 years ago, when you had games like Vib Ribbon and Parappa the Rapper coming out, and you just never see stuff like that anymore.
Because they were, I don't know, the indie companies today don't have the risk association. They're like, well, we have a new idea. We're going to see if we can get this off the ground, and if we succeed, that's great. If we don't, we don't really lose a whole lot. And if a large game company, you know, if they take this risk and they fuck up, you know, they're dumping millions of dollars into this. So they have a lot more risk association with it.
But, you know, large companies used to take more risks, and they don't now. What changed?
No, because they have a lot of well-established franchises. Now all the franchises are there. They know what works. They know that Call of Duty and Angry Birds sell, and that's where they want to stick to it.
Capcom was, like, at the brink of going corrupt for both Resident Evil 1 and 2, but they still risked it. Now they just can see to, this title makes money. Let's do this.
Capcom's the worst.
Video game companies today has just, according to me, just have too much money in their ears to be able to risk it. It's like, oh god, no. Why would I want to risk this sweet life? I mean, before they would, like, I could risk my two-room apartment and my old car. Now they're more like, why would I risk my three-story house and my swimming pool and my 50 cars?
Or Bobby Kotick and his 15 and a half Lamborghinis.
Whatever number we had decided. I completely forgot about that 15 and a half Lamborghinis. But, I mean, what about Nintendo then? Nintendo take risks. You can't say Nintendo don't take risks, because they come up with the stupidest shit.
Nintendo takes risks with things that already make money.
Even if
Nintendo risks something, they just still do it with, like, Mario, and people will naturally buy it.
You want to know why Nintendo takes risks, though?
Tell me why.
There's an old saying, money doesn't grow on trees. Well, it does. Nintendo has that fucking money tree. And
Nintendo
they just pluck
posted
it
a
on a daily basis.
This last financial year.
And do you know what?
They lost money.
Reggie woke up that morning of Nintendo losing money. And you know what he said?
I'm going to have steak for breakfast.
Yeah, he said, shit. I can only have one steak today. Well, I can still have those lobster, though.
Yeah, but
Reggie woke up that morning. Reggie woke up that morning, and you know how many fucks he gave?
I bet he probably did give a fuck. I bet he
no,
did.
No, no, he started to give a fuck, and then he remembered, wait, work for Nintendo.
I bet he called Shiggy M. Diggy for emotional support.
Shig, how you holding up? I don't know, man. One steak for breakfast? How can I do this?
I actually think Taco Man has a point. The people at Nintendo really seem to not care as much about money as the other corporation does. At least Nintendo doesn't offer, doesn't put on disc DLC.
Well, the thing about Nintendo is that you've got people like Shiggy in the company, high up there. They're the guys who pretty much, who keep the company rolling. And they know that they've got these ideas, and they're still creative. They're still, you know, a part of their team. They're just not figureheads anymore, or now. So they realize, well, you know, if we have these creative people coming up with creative ideas and they think it's a good idea, 9 times out of 10, we're pretty fucking sure that it's going to be a good idea. Might not always be a good idea. I mean, not every idea is a good idea. But, you know, if Shigeru Miyamoto says, you know, this shit will sell, it's probably going to sell. And it's not just him who you know, makes these money-making ideas. Like, Nintendo has tons and tons of assets. You know, are new ideas. And they know that these new ideas are probably going to do well. Because that's what they do.
Also, Nintendo actually listens to their fans.
Do they?
Do they?
Well, okay, they see their fans as fans and not as consumers.
Right, yeah, I think
that's a little
that.
Bit
yeah,
more exactly. precise. You know, they're saying, like, we have an obligation to our fans, and if we uphold that obligation, we'll make more money. Companies are like, we have an obligation to our customers to give them what we think they want. What we think will give
No, it's
the
our
incentive
customers
to give
our
them more
money bags that we have to squeeze as hard as possible so that more money comes out of them.
Yeah. Exactly. And Nintendo realizes, like, if we're making innovative new shit that our fans love, we're just going to get money. Who knows, maybe we can even get rid of that money tree one day.
I hate to one harp day. On Microsoft about it, but at one point in the interview, he made me feel bad for making fun of Milo, because he says that basically the reason that Milo didn't happen was because Microsoft didn't want to take the risk with it, and they didn't. Yeah, you know, they thought that if it was released, it would confuse people. People wouldn't know what it actually was or what it did or why they should buy it.
Well, that was that really innovative thing where it was like, it was not really a game. It was more just an interactive thing.
Well, no, apparently he had a whole proper game planned around it, and that it was coming together and that it would work.
That thing was the only thing that made the Kinect look interesting.
Yeah,
that was pretty much it. The rest of it was just flailing around like a fucking idiot.
I would have bought Kinect.
I will never get to look at those fishes.
See those fishes?
No, nope.
You can climb
nope.
them.
Instead, we get little girls playing with their imaginary tigers.
I was never able to understand that. Why not just buy a real tiger?
Tigers probably because really that's illegal in most countries.
They hug people. I've seen it happen. I've seen tiger hugging occur.
I've seen a tiger hug person. I've also seen a lot more tigers eating them.
I've rode on an elephant. Everybody should get elephants. They're great transportation.
Where did you ride on an elephant, Shawnee?
Because it's awesome.
Where? Under what circumstances?
Oh,
was it a carnival?
No, it was when I was back in Zimbabwe. I was like 12. And we were like on this zoo thingy. Zoos in Africa doesn't really work like they do anywhere else. There's, like, the caretakers...
Zoo in Africa, there's a kiosk, and then they're just sort of like, yeah, just fucking go out there. There's lots of animals.
Pretty much, actually. I mean, the caretakers is, like, comes up and, like, scratches the lion behind its ear, and I'm like, wait, what?
This lion knows I've got a gun. Won't do nothing. Well, I rode on an elephant at a carnival, or not a carnival, it was a circus. And thinking back on it now, those animals were probably abused, which is a shame. But it was still neat.
They don't let that sort of like, stuff happen anymore, though, so don't worry about it.
Not anymore, no, but, you know, fucking, what was it, like 12 years ago when it happened, it was sort of like, I'm riding a fucking elephant, yeah!
You have the king of everything. Dominance over the food chain.
More or less. It was kind of cool. And then I have friends, or I had friends, who think Cirque du Soleil is fucking retarded because it's a circus and it doesn't have elephants.
I've never been, I'm not cultured enough, but I wouldn't write it off because it didn't have animals.
Cirque du Soleil is
incredible. I've always been more partial to giraffes anyway.
You should all go out and see it.
There are apparently some fun talented performers there.
Oh, good lord, they are talented. Very. If you ever find yourself in Vegas, they have, like, you know, daily shows and shit down there. So
I don't think I'm around.
Doesn't that one include the acrobats that, like, half my age and then, like, jump up to my balcony with, like, no...
Chances are, like, most of them are half your age. They all start off very young and they train for life and can do incredible things with their bodies that you will never even, you know, fathom yourself doing. They're very talented. Either way, Petey Boy wants to go out on his own and be creative, and that's good. You, unfortunately, chose to work with a company, Microsoft, didn't want to go out and risks. Shiggy D. Wiggy works with a company that loves taking risks and makes lots of money off of it.
Oh, yes. Steve Jobs. No, what am I saying? Peter Molyneux.
Everything leads to Steve Jobs.
Ah, goddammit, Steve.
He should totally work for Nintendo. I mean, him and Shiggy Diggy would make a dream team.
Wait, Miyamoto and Nintendo.
I could see Pete working for Nintendo. Yeah, I could. You know, that'd be interesting, actually.
Let's have Nintendo as the next company to buy one of his startups.
All right, let's find that kid who everybody had in elementary school whose mom or uncle worked for Nintendo. Let's find him and get his uncle to talk to Reggie for us.
I kind of lament not having Milo. I think if Milo had been in shops, then I probably would have been quite tempted to buy it. Just how else am I going to get my...
But I would have sat there every now and then gone, huh. Should I buy this?
But would you have bought a Kinect simply for Milo?
I probably would have mooched off of friends like I did with, can't remember what it is, but I mooch off friends for a lot of expensive gaming peripherals.
I wouldn't buy a Kinect just for Milo, however people would buy a Kinect just for Milo, and that would inspire more innovative games that would make me want to buy a Kinect. Now, people don't make any innovation whatsoever, they're all on rails, and I say, fuck that.
Yeah, the Fable game.
It's on rails. You went from having, you know, Petey Boy saying, like, look at this game where you can forge your own paths and stuff, and now it's literally just rails. They killed Pete's idea. Killed Lionhead.
At least they're not Rare.
They fucking killed Lionhead.
The fate of Rare is far more depressing. The fact that one of the most well-known Nintendo developers since, like, the late 1980s is now working for Microsoft making Wii Sports knockoffs is just...
I wonder if the people who along with that regret it now. I mean, they've got a solid job, but they regret their decision.
Well, apparently, because I had a conversation. You might have been. Were you there, Dodds? With a taxi driver who claimed that he'd been to Rare and that they were all completely loaded.
And they were all pretty cool guys and they're very chilled out. And they had a bonsai tree.
I had lots of bonsai trees.
So, yeah, they had a garden dedicated to them. Apparently.
Well, I guess they're enjoying themselves then, so I'm not gonna comment on that then.
That's anymore. My insider information for you.
Didn't Shigeru give the Rare a bonsai tree when they left them?
It seems like the kind of thing he'd do. He's nice like that. Not like G-pop guy.
Take this bonsai tree. Kind of looks like Mario.
I'm just thinking if Rare left Microsoft, they would not give them a bonsai tree. They would give them the middle finger.
I don't think Rare can leave Microsoft.
No, I think that they're a publicly traded company and that Microsoft just bought them, like a majority stake.
I think there's only two ways Rare can leave Microsoft. either being sold or, you know, buried 6 feet under, like, you know, Clover Studios or something.
Well, they could buy themselves back if they had the money, couldn't they?
Why did they close down Clover Studios? God damn it, why?
Yeah, but because Clover Studios never made anyone any money. Why do you think they did?
But they made such fantastic games! I cut myself every night because of that.
They have platinum games now, though, so hey.
Yeah. Well, they're making kind of not as much kind of money now with Bayonetta and other games, which
Bayonetta was
a bit less niche.
I have to admit, I would love to see another action-adventure game from them, rather than like a hack-and-slashy type or third-person type game like they've been doing recently. They don't appeal to me as much.
See, the problem is that when the larger a company gets, the less it's going to want to be innovative, or the less opportunities it's going to have to be innovative. If you look at, like GSC, makers of Stalker, they couldn't make another Stalker. They'd worked on it. They had been working on it for months without pay, and they finally gave up last week because they couldn't secure the IP rights for it. You know,
I thought they were the ones who owned the IP rights. Who did?
I thought they owned it too. I thought they owned the IP too, but nope, they were just borrowing it for the first three games. Because they were a small company. And then, you know, the larger they got, the more renowned they got. It's sort of like, well, now you're a larger company. We don't really feel like Stalker could continue to, you know, reel in this money, so meh. So now they're making, you know, Stalker global scale MMO free to play.
Yeah, I'm not sure what I think of that.
Which might be interesting.
That.
We'll see. Who knows? It could be exactly like what everybody wanted. It could be Stalker MMO, which could be interesting.
Name me a successful MMO.
That was FPS.
Successful MMO.
EverQuest, World of Warcraft, Ultima.
Ultima, that harkens back.
Pretty sure most MMOs aren't successful for the people playing them.
Most MMOs now fade into obscurity within 3 months and shut down, and nobody cares.
EverQuest lasted quite a long time, and World of Warcraft has been around for, 10 years now?
Yeah, well, World of Warcraft is the exception, although we talked about that last time, that they are finally losing money.
Oh, they're losing a lot of money now. Like, but it's taken them this long to peter out, and it's going to happen eventually.
But I'm saying with most new MMOs, it takes about 3 months.
Yeah, because they're all just EverQuest clones. They're not WoW clones, they're EverQuest clones.
GSC, it's the CEO of the company, is apparently the guy who owns the IP for Stalker.
And he's not letting his own company have the IP.
That's kind of weird.
Supposedly, what I heard was that the CEO just, didn't give a crap anymore. He didn't want to be working with video games anymore or something, so he just decided to close down the company.
Jesus Christ, what's with all these CEOs that are complete assholes?
Well, like you guys said, sociopaths.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's 100% true or not, but I've seen it in multiple articles online.
My dad works for GSC Game World, and he can confirm it.
Speaking of previous Clover Studios, Shinji Mikami is actually working on a new survival horror game.
Is Shinji Mikami the Resident Evil guy?
Yeah, he also left Platinum Games. He has his own studio now, and this apparently is going to be his final game, he says.
What is he going to do afterwards, then?
Retire. Actually, he's said he wanted to supervise his new company.
Oh, so he's just going to take more of the supervisor role. He'll just be the guy who stands there and shouts at people to do things.
It will be I bet money it's going to be Hideo Kojima all over again.
When you say that.
Hideo Kojima?
Hideo Kojima got death threats when he said that he did not want to direct Metal Gear Solid 4.
Oh, right, okay.
So Hideo...
I don't know, man.
I don't understand the way you're pronouncing his name.
That's the exact reason that PTM left Lionhead, was because he thought he was in too much of that kind of role and wanted to get back to making games and programming stuff. Weird, that sort of role reversal.
So they pretty much, they're the people who should be leading companies. They're the guys who, you know, they hit that point where they literally just sit at a desk all day telling people what to do, and then they kind of realize, like, wait a second.
I'm meant to be making games here. Yeah.
Like, you know, Gabe Newell does that. He apparently, you know, most of his job is, like, you know, getting people to do shit, but he says one who works at Valve knows what they should be doing, so he spends less time, you know, pandering and meandering, and he actually, you know, picks up little odd bits of things and does shit.
Yeah, Gabe Newell programs. He was heavily involved in the whole Steam porting to Linux thing, just because, you know, that company has absolutely no structure at all.
Gabe Newell, you know, he actually gets down, he does the work with everybody. And that's probably what more of these people need to be doing. The problem is that that point where they're at, you know, so high on the ladder that they literally need to just jump back down to the bottom rung or whatever you want to call it, and, you know, start over. Which is a real shame.
As an epilogue to all of this, right, at the end of the interview, you'll be pleased by this, Hugh. Pete apologized for all the promises that he'd made and broken over his years at Lionhead.
That's kind of strange.
Yeah, I accept his apology, because he talks a lot about, like, what it was like starting the company and getting funding and talking to Microsoft, and he says there are all these things that he wanted to do, but he didn't actually realize whether they were work out whether they were practical or not with his team and his budget and the technology that Microsoft gave him. So, yeah, I'd rather that he shot high than just was like, we're going to make a game where you're a guy with a gun and you shoot other guys in the face.
Well, the thing is, he started it up and he didn't really have, you know, the sort of realm he has now. And he was just sort of like, well, I want to start Lionhead Studios. Microsoft can help that. Now he's, you know, relatively well off, and he's getting some other relatively well off people to help him. And he's, you know, he's relatively well known. So now it's sort of like, well, now he has that ability to start on his own, and hopefully he can go and do the things he wants to go and do.
Well, I mean, he was well known at Bullfrog before.
Fair enough. Yeah. But did he have the money?
I don't know what the deal was with Bullfrog, to be honest. I wasn't reading video game news back then. I still don't read video game news. I just compile it all in the 10 minutes before recording.
That's what makes us a unique and exciting podcast.
Very exciting, yes. Next thing, right? Let's face it, as far as Sony is concerned, everything Nintendo does is terrible until they rip it off. This week, they officially announced Sony Super PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale Championship Edition EX2 Plus The World Warrior HD Deluxe Game of the Year Edition, or whatever it's called. This game features iconic characters such as Kratos, Sly Cooper, and Parappa the Rapper beating down on one another in two-dimensional themed worlds. So it looks exactly like Super Smash Bros. Are you morally opposed to this, or will you be tempted to pick it up?
I will probably pick it up, because it actually looks kind of fun. However, it is 100% a rip-off Super Smash Bros. The only difference they have with it is that you only can kill people by doing super moves.
What?
Really?
You can only kill people. If you attack them, the only thing your attacks do is build meter.
So instead of doing, you know, even, you know, stamina or percentile damage to them, you build a meter, and then once that meter gets up to a certain point, then you can just kill anyone.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sounds a little dicey.
Isn't that like Smash Brothers?
No, Smash Brothers is, you know, building a meter to kill people easier. But you can still, you know, use smash moves or items to fucking decimate people early on, or in a, you know, like that fucking hammer.
Also, this is the selling point. They say that the gameplay will be deep enough to 20 fag.
Oh, well. No tripping, then.
Well, you know, honestly, everyone's always wanted this, to an extent. There's always been, like, the, you know, what if Sony made Super Smash Bros.? Oh, what if Sony made, you know, a Super Smash Bros.? And now, here's Sony making a Super Smash Bros. Game. And, you know, everyone's going to be like, oh, you know, fucking Sony fucking stealing everything and rah, rah, rah.
And then probably you know, not you know you want it anyway, because it looks really cool.
You secretly want Parappa the Rapid to pull some kung fu shit on Sweet Tooth.
I don't even secretly want it. I overtly want it.
Yeah. The only problem is like, what is their lineup going to be? Because from what I understand, they have a Hellgast Soldier. They've got Sweet Tooth, Parappa the Rapper, Fat Princess, and Kratos. Those are the only five I think they've really revealed so far.
Sly Cooper.
And Sly Cooper.
Here's the problem, right? A lot of their
are they
going to
have their classics?
A lot of their most famous characters,
Crash Bandicoot,
they don't actually own anymore. So exactly. They don't own the rights to Spyro, I know. I'm not sure if they own the rights to Ratchet or Jak and Daxter. A lot of those are either owned or were sold to third-party companies.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Fat Princess is in there in bloody stead, isn't it?
Yeah. What about, I wonder if they'll put Sackboy in there. That'd be interesting. But, you know, probably. The thing is like...
Sackboy will probably be in there.
What about things like Medieval or Legend of the Dragoon or, you know, things from the PS1? Like, you know,
fucking
like, what if
Vin
people
Ribbon.
Want...
Put Vin
yeah,
Ribbon
what,
in there. God damn
yeah,
it.
Yeah, what if people want to hear, you know, fucking Dart shouting, you know, Volcano and shit like that again?
It only the holds to this thing I think is that's positive about it is that it gives view on really old PlayStation games like Parappa that we all want to see sequels of. Guitaro Man,
yes. That fucking Guitaro Man. That's some pretty solid music.
Intelligent Cube. I want a sequel to Intelligent Cube. I love that game dearly. That is so good.
But so here's the thing, though: are they going to be putting like Parappa? Obviously, it's you know that's an interesting choice for one of the characters, but it's cool. I totally think that's an awesome idea that they're doing that. And he sort of fits because like in the game, he did things like kung fu and skateboarding and shit, which they've incorporated. But are they going to put all of their classic stars into this game, or is it all going to be is it going to be Parappa? And then everyone else is going to be everyone made over the last 10-15 years. Because even Sweet Tooth isn't classic Sweet Tooth. He's Twisted Metal Black Sweet Tooth.
I know what you mean. Are they going to pay money to license all the characters?
Yeah. Like, are they really going to put the effort into it?
Well, apparently one of the stages is from Jak and Daxter, so Sony apparently owns that.
That'd be interesting. One of the neat things I did see is that they do seem to actually, kind of care about, like, the stages they're making, or they at least think they can do neat things with it, like the Hades level is from, Hades from God of War is in the background, just, tearing shit up, but at the same time, all the little characters from Patapon are trying to invade Hell. So, that's kind of funny, that's cool, that's neat. That could have a lot of interesting repercussions.
And there's going to be a Buzz stage, which will probably be exactly like the WarioWare stage.
Yep.
Not that I mind.
It'll be interesting. Right, so it looks like they're actually putting some effort into it. It's not just like, okay, we'll just fucking put them on Final Destination and let them smack the shit out of each other. So
I think we can compile a list now of what Sony has not ripped off Nintendo yet. And what can we expect in the future that Sony will rip off from Nintendo?
The next Sony handheld will have a 3D display.
Well, they did have a touchscreen on this last one, so...
Yeah.
And I also heard that, I don't know if it was Microsoft or Sony that's doing it, but their new controller will be a tablet.
That's a Kotaku rumor.
Pay it no heed. Pay it no heed.
So it's sort of like, well, you know, and that's one of the things. Nintendo does these things that, you know, kind of pave the way, and then suddenly everyone's like, well, it's making money. Let's jump on that.
And it's not always a good idea of Nintendo's either. Sometimes it's a stupid idea, and everyone still copies it.
Waggling was okay for some stuff, but not for everything.
I'm just looking forward to PlayStation Music.
PlayStation Music?
Like Wii Music.
Oh, right, yeah. No, that's going to be crunk, y'all. All going to be bad MIDI synths as well.
Blood, don't let me get old school. Blood. Sorry. But anyways, no, looking at this, secretly everybody has wanted Sony Smash Bros.
You know what everyone secretly wanted, really, though, really? They wanted what? Smash Brothers versus PlayStation All-Stars.
Oh, that would be pretty cool.
I just want Nintendo versus
Capcom. Well, if you want to go there, everybody's all wanted a crossover of everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We're just waiting for all the companies to play nice after they all go bankrupt.
Now, instead, we just keep getting Marvel versus Capcom over and over and over.
Marvel and Capcom are really fucking left out of this.
What?
Because, you know, they've got, like, maybe four characters they could use for, like, a crossover fighter.
That's the only reason they haven't already done it, is because they just got, like, what are their first parties? They've got Rare.
Halo.
They got Rare as a first party. Bungie is now a third party, and Halo's been taken over by another first party. They have Lionhead as a first party, and I think there's a couple of other studios that make some junk, but that's mostly it. Twisted Pixel, they're a first party. But most of their first-party studios, they closed them. They just shut them down. I don't know why.
Also, Takuman, it took 10 years between Marvel 2 and Marvel 3, so yeah, it's not just rehashes.
Okay.
I don't even know why Marvel and Capcom will be picked as two things to go together, to be honest. It seems like a kind of a weird combination to me.
It started with that Capcom was developing Marvel games, like the old classic X-Men arcade games. Those were developed by Capcom.
And then, that makes more sense.
I guess one of the companies just approached themselves and said, like, hey, why don't we do a crossover with these things?
Hey, let's have our guys beat the shit out of your guys.
Yeah!
And that's how X-Men vs. Street Fighter started, and the whole Versus game series started at all. And then we finally knew what a broken fighting game was.
But still, this is going to be interesting. So, but, you know, is this going to be just, you know, four characters going around? Like, has there been any footage of items being used?
Yes.
And there's Final Smashes as well.
Those are the hypers the only thing that can kill.
I think that's a little odd, because literally, if you don't land any of those attacks, the match could just go on forever.
Actually, the supers that I've seen are, like, really easy to land. I even saw that Fat Princess is kind of like Pits.
So it's going to be super casual, no skill, noob-friendly.
Can you not fall off the stage or get knocked too high?
No.
That's lame. In a box.
Also, Catsman remembered me saying that it should be, like, deep and compelling and be able to play in tournaments, too.
But it's literally just, you know, wail on somebody as hard as you can, as quick as you can, to build up that meter as soon as you can.
Cautious optimism, I would say.
It's the idea everybody wants, but it might not be the product they want.
Should we move on to...
That was weird.
Sorry, did you get disconnected, Reinforcements?
Yeah, I did.
Oh.
Do you have anything to add?
I'm meaning to move the Mumble server. I think we need to go on to the kooky news that Happy Man has left us.
And that's my cue, then.
He left us again?
Nexon said to make an offer for Electronic Arts, Bloomberg reports. Japanese game company Nexon reportedly contacted EA about making an offer, according to Bloomberg, citing a South Korean newspaper. Apparently, if you guys don't know, Nexon is the people that own MapleStory. And they apparently are making more money than EA.
Hmm. They make a lot of those free-to-play MMO games, right?
Am I the only one that actually would love to see this happen so that EA can get a taste of their own medicine?
Yes, most definitely.
I'd like to see this. EA's sort of a shitbox these days.
I'd love the twisted irony of it.
EA buys out everything. EA gets bought out by Nexon of all fucking people.
And then all of EA's were forever kawaii girls in very skimpy outfits.
And they're all going to be free-to-play cash shop games.
So hang on. Boy. Where does Nexon even make their money? What do they make aside from MapleStory?
Vindictus is one thing, right? They do Vindictus, right? I think so. But they do a lot of these, like the cooperative dungeon crawling games and stuff like that. And they're all cash shop games. They make their money on microtransactions. And apparently it's very lucrative, as we have seen by Zynga. Microtransactions are very, very profitable.
Now, Zynga bought EA. That's the only way you could make that company worse.
No, I think if Zynga bought EA, it would literally be the apocalypse of video games. Everything would be over. The Mayans were right.
Nexon actually is still a Korean company, and you know how the Koreans love MMOs. So basically, they probably are just making all their money for microtransactions off of the Korean MMO.
Who knows? Maybe we might get some of their MMOs once in a while then.
Because a lot
of them kind of look, well, not all the time. And usually when we get it, it's like, you know, a year later.
Yeah, but how many times do we actually want, like, another Korean MMO?
We don't want them, but they happen. They just happen.
I've never paid money to one of them, to be honest.
I don't know. But Nexon also does, like, Mabinogi and, Dragon's Nest, right?
I've heard good things about Dragon's Nest.
Yeah, it's alright. It's like Kawaii Vindictus, pretty much. For the most part, Nexon... it's kind of hard to say what they would do with EA, but...
Yeah, they'll buy EA and they'll go like, oh, now what are we doing? We're going to make some free-to-play MMOs, right, guys? And the Dead Space developers turn around and go, what?
Make Dead Space more... What is this word? Kawaii? What is this? Cell shading?
I would
guys, I don't think you understand.
I would pay a lot of money to see Dead Space cell shaded in kawaii.
Kawaii space. Oh, great. Oh, boy, somebody's going to make for this. It. Well, you could probably fuck around with the filters, I'm sure, to get sort of an effect like that, right? I don't know how video games work. I just play them.
I don't either, though.
This screwdriver is fascinating. It really is.
Moving on.
That's one way to say you're boring as shit.
No! This screwdriver, it genuinely, it's like the end fixes on magnetically, but it's not magnetic to screws. Just wondering how it manages that.
Nanomachines. That's one thing we've learned if we can't explain it, nanomachines.
Metal Gear.
My god, metal screwdriver. Didn't I kill you already?
Oh, Metal Gear. You're so silly.
Do we move on with the video?
Yes.
Alright. Apparently, since Sakurai has run out of ideas for the new next Super Smash Brothers, the next Smash Brothers will feature dual support between the 3DS and the Wii U. As much as anyone, I absolutely adore dual support between consoles. However, am I the only one that thinks that this will make Smash Bros. Even more casual than Brawl, and the people that actually like playing Smash Bros. Competitively, or not being randomed out by Meta Knight constantly, don't you think they will get even more pissed by this?
Probably, if they're the tourney fake kind of people. I just play Smash Bros. When I get incredibly drunk and I go to visit my university friends.
Smash Bros. Is fun. However, I think there is a way to have a game be fun and still be competitive. However, Sakurai can do that. If anyone has played Kid Icarus, they know it's not balanced.
I heard a lot of good things about Kid Icarus, though.
It's really good. It's really fun.
but the multiplayer is just one-sided.
The multiplayer is chaos. That's the best way to explain it. I've played Marvel 3 at the, like, with random stuff happening, and Kid Icarus is more chaos than Marvel 3.
So it's just Mario Party the Fighter?
Pretty much, yeah.
If you play this with your friends, don't expect to be friends much longer.
It's not less of a friend killer than, say, Mario Kart.
Yeah, fair enough. But, so it's pretty much just, there's a problem with it being unbalanced, and you're afraid that this could be the fact for the next one as well. But think of it.
I think
Super Smash Bros. Portable.
I reckon that that Super Smash Bros. Melee, right, was balanced for tournament play by pure chance, and they didn't actually intend that at all. And that all future Smash Bros. Games won't be, because they were never trying to do that in the first place.
They were sort of like, wait, shit, we did it right, guys, don't do that again.
Yeah, exactly.
However, one thing that I am worried about is that Smash Bros. Will feature online play. And Nintendo and online play.
Hey, Mario Kart Wii's online play was really good. It was really good.
They're slowly improving. That's definitely something to say.
Slowly improving. But it's still mostly like you play with people whose friend code you've already have. And that's like the general.
Well, from what I hear with the Wii U, they're actually going to sort of change that system. But, you know, as I said, everything about the Wii U right now and like with any next-gen consoles is just rumors up in the air.
They will find out what's going on at E3 this year, apparently.
Why do they still... Why would they ever use friend codes? I do not understand that.
They want to be
pedophiles.
Yeah, exactly.
They're protecting our children. Shiggy Wiggy and Reggie are out there looking out for your kids. You should be thankful. Buy his new rap album.
I don't have any kids. I don't need friend codes.
Yeah, I don't have any friends. I don't need friend codes.
They should have just made them optional, really. That would have solved it.
It's like going online, having a friend list, like Steam or something.
Well, you know, you don't see, like, pedophile rings on, like, Steam or anything, or putting, like, cocks as their, like, their little avatar.
I actually think you do. You're just not being approached by them because you're not pretty enough.
Actually, Dodson,
you have to say... Wow, man, whoa!
I think he's pretty enough, Dodson. Don't you listen to a word he says.
Canadian taste, I guess.
He has a very big pedophile group, and it's called the Gentleman's Lunchtime Association.
I'm pretty sure they're just like a gay and lesbian thing.
Gay and lesbian association.
It's just a lot of dicks and ass. We don't prejudice by age.
Did you hear that Dicko got on X-Hamster?
Yes.
Yes.
I think we've all seen Robbie Flappy.
He shared it with everyone.
Yeah.
We all saw that.
He didn't hide it.
You think he's
going
to end up in porn?
Probably.
No.
I wouldn't be too surprised if there isn't already something out there with him in it. Home video of him and some broad in a maid outfit, I don't know.
Some broad in my outfit.
That's why I specified broad.
I save. Dicko looks funny. I like Dicko.
I forgot maid outfit was a bit of a buzzword here. I apologize.
I would say to everyone listening, I will link the video in the description for this podcast, but I'm not sure whether I should, because it is just a video of some guy's penis.
It's also password protected, and I think he did that for a reason.
But just take our word on this, okay?
It's interesting to say the least.
So yeah, how about that Smash Brothers?
Smash Brothers old news.
Smash Bros could be interesting, we'll see how it goes, but chances are it's gonna be casual.
Smash Bros will still be fun to play.
Yeah, I'll enjoy it anyway.
The tourney fags are gonna, get a little bit, Rhythm came up with a new term, crack cranky. So, there's going to be a little bit of upsetness, being upset about it, but,
However,
it'll be fine.
The fighting
and they're still going to play it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
It's sort of like, well, this is the shit that we got, might as well, dig in.
thing is with the fighting game community is, like, it's the prime example that you cannot satisfy everybody in it. Some people want it more casual, some people want less casual, some people want this character, some people want that character, some people want these features, and so on and so on. You cannot satisfy everybody, so you just throw your thing in there and hope that it sells.
Isn't that kind of just a rule in general? You usually can't satisfy everybody.
Yeah, well, fighting games communities are very hard to satisfy.
That's like throwing a really pissed off ferret into a crowd of children. We'll just see what happens, and, you know, it could turn out, you know, all right, I guess, but either way, there's going to be a lot of nipped ankles at the end of it. That was my favorite metaphor so far.
I preferred the fake fur metaphor.
I think all the metaphors are wonderful.
Thank you.
So that's all the gaming news I have. Juju, did you have some gaming news?
Yeah, I did. None of it was all that big, so seeing as how we're already coming on, like, 2 hours, I'm only going to choose a few to talk about, because I would also like to give counterpoint to Happy's description of Upote, the anime about the girls that are guns.
Oh, because,
I'm gonna miss that.
Yeah, what
he's
I did
coming
was,
back for it next podcast, and he's gonna give us more stuff. Just so you know,
great.
Yeah, because I listened. What I did was I listened to the podcast, and then I heard Happy about talk to it, and I hadn't watched the show yet, so I just skipped that, and I finally got around to watching the show sometime last week. And I listened to his description. It kind of felt like example I can give is math. There are some people that just get math and they're like, okay, good, got it, good to go. There are people like me who are just that just go, what? So I want you guys to think of your favorite like video game character or just a really iconic piece of clothing that they have. And then ask yourselves, would you be willing to pay $1,300 for it? Because that is what Capcom is kind of doing with Evil 6. It's a Japan-only release of the premium edition of Resident Evil 6, which will come with the game. Four like tablet cases featuring different characters and I can't think of the word right now.
A leather jacket.
Yeah, the leather jacket that Leon wears in the new game.
I think we can turn up a comparison about how it would be if somebody from Japan bought this and somebody from America or Europe. Oh, hey guy, yeah, nice jacket. Where did you get it? Oh, I got it from the Resident Evil 6 case. Oh my god, are you some sort of nerd? Hello, well, where did you get your jacket? I got it from Resident Evil case for $1,600.
Oh my god.
That's awesome.
It's, what it really is just a testament to how loyal a Japanese fan base can be.
Well, hang on, did anyone actually buy that? Or is this just all...
It's not out yet.
It's not out yet.
Is anyone going to buy it? Is it just a strange vanity thing?
No.
Not for £800, no. I'm not going to buy it.
If I wanted to buy a leather jacket, I'd go out and buy a leather jacket. I'm not really too keen on wearing a leather, you know, Leon Kennedy's leather jacket. Unless it was that jacket he was wearing in Resident Evil 4. That was a pretty nice jacket.
I was always so disappointed at how quickly he lost that.
Yeah.
I wasn't.
It was a nice jacket. Yeah. I would have been rather upset at losing a jacket like that. It's probably an expensive jacket.
Yeah, it's probably like $16,000.
All right.
But anyways, it's the fan base. It's some people are going to buy it, some people aren't. Either way, it's kind of cool, I guess. I mean, not a whole lot of games have been, you know, it'll probably be the most expensive special edition video game ever released. I can't really think of any video games that are more expensive than that.
I read this, and then I thought, But you could probably requisition some cosplay person to make this for you for much less.
Yeah. I don't know how they think anyone's going to buy it if they charge that much. If they charged how it was worth and then maybe doubled that, then people would probably buy it.
Yeah.
But this is look, by the looks of it, it's an authentic leather jacket. Leather jackets ain't cheap.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
now the thing goes is that it's a special leather jacket too. It's based off of, you know, a video game character's attire. So it's got, you know, a special kind of uniqueness to it. It's not just like you go down to Mark's, buy a leather jacket for $400 or $500. It's like, this is Leon Kennedy's leather jacket.
Just for the record, my leather jacket was £20 from Asda.
What? Oh.
Damn.
I'm disappointed now.
You're like, oh, he spent so much on a leather jacket. I got it, like, cheap from
you
a supermarket.
You told me it was more expensive than that. And you said your brother got it for you for a birthday present. What else have you lied to about, Dodds?
Time to come clean, Doddsky.
It's not your child.
Fuck! Don't tell me it's Rob Dyer's.
It's not his either.
That's okay, then. I would have had it shot otherwise.
Can we do something else? Cut out?
No, let's not cut that out. Wait, yes, let's. Okay, next thing.
Gentlemen's Lunchtime Association in favor of killing babies if they're Robert Doyle's children.
I wouldn't say babies.
It's not even born yet, so...
Well, that's even worse. The GLA is, you know, all in favor for abortions. It's, you know, guns.
Stop saying unborn child. There's no such thing as an unborn child. When it's born, it becomes a child, right? Before that, it's a fetus or an embryo. I'd just like to make that distinction now, because it's one thing
or
that really
zygote.
Annoys me. Or a blastocyst.
A blastoise?
Blastoise is legendary fourth evolution!
A new Pokemon would end up as humans one day.
Yep, it's all happening.
Alright,
in my case, yeah.
Alright, I'm just going to do this, have this as the last one, so we can get on to the other thing I want to talk about. New Mechromancer character customization coming to Borderlands 2. When I first heard about this, I was very excited. So, pretty much, at PAX, they announced that they will be adding a fifth character to Borderlands once the game is finished and released. They won't start actual production on the character until after the game is completed. And if you pre-order the game, I believe, you will be able to get the character for free. And here, I'll post a link so you guys can see what the character looks like.
But they've already got the idea for it all done.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what the character looks like. And the special Bloodwing was for Mordecai, and the phasewalking was for Lilith. Hers is going to be DE74T, codenamed Death Trap. Basically, it's a giant fucking robot that destroys everything in lots of explosions. And it just is fantastic.
Am I the only one that thinks that girl looks like a female Chrono from Chrono Trigger?
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
I like the robot arm. Yeah.
I wish I had a robot arm. Imagine all the things I could crush.
Every time I see a robot arm, I think of that episode of Adventure Time where Finn imagines himself with a robot arm. For like a brief second.
Must be awkward to masturbate. Just think how cold it'll be.
Well, then use the other arm. She's still got, you know, flesh and blood in the other one.
Billy Potato Dodds.
Besides, women have, you know, peripherals for that anyways. So who knows? Maybe this is like, you know...
Wait, I don't need to go to the... explain to me.
Maybe she doesn't need... Maybe she just needs to go to the store now to go out and, you know, buy one, it's sort of like, well, fuck, I can just use this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Are you saying that this robot arm is going to have a dildo attachment?
Who knows, man? Who knows?
Well, it will in all the Rule 34 art.
Yes, it will.
Also, there is going to be character customization in Borderlands 2, different from the palette changing in 1. There'll be there'll be different outfits and heads you can obtain through doing various quests and missions in Borderlands 2, along with a custom head and body outfit for each character. If you played the original Borderlands, I just find I'm just really excited for Borderlands 2.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that too.
After I read this and saw the new videos for it, October can't come soon enough.
Yeah.
Well, as long as they fix all the problems that were wrong with the original Borderlands, you know, yes. I think it could be had potential to be great, you know, and this could be great.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. We'll see. I really like just the concept of Borderlands. I felt a bit let down by the first one in a way, and I am actually secretly, although I pretend to hate Borderlands, I'm secretly hoping that this is going to be really good.
They have said that it isn't going to be. Kill X amount of this, fetch X amount of this, come back, gain reward, like it was in the first one. They have said that they are focusing more on a story, not story driven, more of a campaign driven game.
The one problem I think Borderlands 2 is going to have is that the soldier isn't a big tough black man now.
No, you can change his head to a black man now.
I hope so.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was the special skin for playing Borderlands 1, is each character is just a remodel.
Of the Borderlands 1 characters?
Yeah.
Oh, it would be alright.
I wouldn't be completely surprised.
Can I play as a strong, confident black woman?
Who don't need no man?
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
That is unconfirmed at this moment, but you never know.
But the thing, though, is with this Mechromancer, which is kind of a neat name. Pretty much what they're saying, though, is that instead of having their day one DLC or week one or week two, they're not even going to fucking touch it from this point on until the game is done and released and out on the shelves.
That's what I've gathered from it.
They've already designed the character.
Yeah, they've already designed the character. They know what she's going to be able to do. They've got pretty much everything but the actual modeling down. And voice work and whatever else. They've got the
programming
concept.
And all that stuff,
so,
yeah.
So at this point, they have the concept. They have the concept down on, you know, engraved in stone. This is what it's going to be, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
So my question is for you guys, what would you prefer? Would you prefer them to begin working on this so it's available within the first week or even on the first day? Or do you like the idea that they're going to wait until the game is done?
Well, I think them just saying that is a way of them covering their ass, so when they do release it, you know, fans won't sort of just go, oh, this should have been part of the game, blah-de-blah-blah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you already had it done, day one DLC, der-der-der. Well, you know, sometimes day one DLC sort of can get away with it, but if, you know, certain aspects are sort of like, well, that should have been a part of the game, well, that should have been a part of the game, but this is sort of like, well, you know, if it's like a downloadable character or something, like, well, fine, whatever. Don't make it a part of the game.
And
you
said
it's money grubbing.
Is it free for people who pre-ordered, did you say?
Yes, it'll be free for people who pre-ordered it. And I'm pretty sure it will be reasonably priced for people who didn't.
Probably $5.
Well, that's fine then. Because if they announced this after the game was released and they said, oh, people who pre-order it would get it for free, you know.
That would have been a bit of a kick in the pants.
But you know,
this character
pre-orders.
Alone literally makes me want to pre-order it right now, let alone the fact that the game itself looks like it'll be pretty fucking cool.
Pre-order bonuses. I thought those were a whole nother kettle of fish that everybody was meant to be hating.
Yep. But, hey, whatever. I mean, there have been some pretty cool pre-order bonuses.
Pre-order bonuses is actually a better way to sell a game than micro-buying shit.
Yeah, I'd rather actually have, you know, enticing pre-order bonuses than, you know, shit.
Just I don't like pre-order bonuses.
Think of it this way. Dragon's Dogma is coming out next month, and it has no unique pre-order bonuses. You know what? They put, like, they just thought.
That's fine.
A pre-order bonus was mandatory. So you know what they did? They said people who pre-order get stuff that's already in the game and doesn't even fucking, you know, do anything. Like, literally, if you pre-order the game from, I think, Best Buy and Future Shop, you get the weapons that you pretty much get almost immediately after you start the game.
That's fine.
They're not unique. They're not powerful. You literally, if you play the game for half an hour, you'll get them anyways. And from EB and GameStop, you get 2,000 in-game currency for buying pawns, which is, you know, quite a bit up from what I understand. And also you get access to some higher level gear earlier on. But it's all just in-game shit that you can get later. And, you know, it doesn't, honestly, that doesn't make me want to pre-order the game. That doesn't entice me at all.
You shouldn't want to pre-order the game. It's silly to pre-order a game because there's no guarantee that it'll be good.
That's the thing,
really,
but that's what they should be trying to do.
Released and maybe see if the price drops a little and then buy it. That's the sensible purchases thing to do.
But the point of pre-order bonuses, like the entire concept, the only reason it was invented was to entice people to pre-order the game so that they buy it.
I don't get how you can criticize a developer for not offering stupid pre-order bonuses with their game.
No. What I'm trying to say, though, is that they're literally just making shit just for the sake of saying, hey, we have a pre-order bonus. It's not like, hey, we have a pre-order bonus that's unique and it makes you want to buy the game. It's just like, yep, pre-order bonus. You got to get that game now, man.
That's fine.
I mean, yeah, you start off with, you know, 5 extra health points. Whoa. Holy shit. From a business standpoint, that's just fucking retarded.
It's
why
being
would anybody
nice
do that?
To your consumers.
It's not. It's,
yeah, it is.
It's, no, it's not. It's not nice at all. They're treating you like fucking morons.
No,
they're like,
hey, you big fucking idiot, buy this game. You don't have to pre-order this game to get all the cool stuff. We'll leave it up to your discretion. If you want to buy it later, sure, that's fine. You won't feel like you've missed out. Don't worry about it. That's cool.
You know, that's cool. But at the same time, why do they even have a pre-order bonus then? Couldn't they just say, there's no pre-order bonus, we're going to make a game that's good enough that you want to buy it. Instead, we're just attaching this false idea of a pre-order to it, and we're acting like you guys are fucking morons and you're going to buy it anyways.
Yeah, well, go on, Dodds.
Do game stores, like, pay game developers and, well, publishers and stuff to have these bonuses exclusive to, like, certain stores and branches?
Sometimes, yes. So. GameStop and EB Games, they do that.
Well, you know, you're saying, why do they do this? Well, you know, sometimes, you know, it's a bit of extra money. You know,
I mean,
game stores are going under.
Yeah, Game in the UK just went under, didn't it?
It's glorious.
Yeah, but the thing, though, is that from a marketing standpoint, from the Bobby Kotick point of view, what Dragon's Dogma doing is fucking stupid because it treats the customer like an idiot. It has no marketing potential. It doesn't really draw anybody in as much as what Borderlands 2 is doing. It's a unique character that you can buy later, but at the same time, it's like, well, you get it for free. And it's a pretty cool character, so pre-order it because you want it anyways.
I think everything about Dragon's Dogma has been up to this point not trying anything to pull me in. It's like, hey guys, this is Dark Souls, but not.
Yeah, it's Dark Souls Monster Hunter.
Monster Hunter for cashews.
Yeah, I had a lot of hope for it, but I'm starting to lose that hope. But we'll see.
I am yet to play either game, so I can't really say anything.
Well, if you download the demo, I think you can now, and it's a little disappointing. But, Borderlands 2, this Necromancer seems pretty cool.
If that's all of Juju's things, then I believe despite his not being here, Happy Man has left us a terrible fan fiction for him to read, so I'm going to pass it over to Happy Man now.
Even from beyond the grave, he strikes at us.
Garrus huffed noisily and gave a nearby stray bit of metal an angry smack. His calibrations that day weren't going well so far. In fact, he'd been up for hours trying to perfect them. He was running on a slim 2 hours of sleep, and those damn sirens weren't helping his already throbbing headache. The only thing that could piss him off more would be some kind of random interruption. Archangel. Of course. I told you not to call me that, damn it, Garrus roared as he spun around to face his synthetic addresser. Legion looked down at the odd thing in his arms, and then back up to Garrus, giving a soft hum as he did so. Shepherd Commander instructed us to deliver this, he spoke and held up the strange ball. What was that? Garrus would be lying if he said that what Legion offered didn't pique his interest. What is it? The Turian grunted as he crossed the room to accept the object that Legion offered. It was bulky and awkward in his hands, and he roughly turned it ever so often to get a better idea of its construction. A satellite? The origin of the object cannot be determined at this time. So it was a mystery. All right, I'll take a look at it, Garrus answered, giving a disinterested shrug. Legion took as much appreciated leave, without another word. It had been a few hours since Legion had dropped off that ball. Garrus had said that he'd get looking into it, but of course that was a lie. He had gone back to his calibrations, but this was done in vain. With that strange sphere in the room, he wouldn't be able to concentrate on anything else. He picked up the ball and again began to turn it repeatedly. Where should he start? By the looks of it, the thing had a small hatch on his back. Garrus picked at it for some time, his frustration mounting as his continual failures to get the thing open. Eventually, after much grunting and growling, Garrus finally pulled the hatch open. Though a small success, it was enough to brighten up his gloomy day. All right, he mused, and stared into the small square opening. Wow, this is a mess. Truly it was. Within the round anomaly was a tangle of circuits and wires. Well, if he didn't start now, he figured that he never would. As delicately as he could, Garrus began to pull at wires, cross circuits, and clean out whatever gunk he had found. This took quite some time, as this thing proved to be more intricate than he had anticipated. But finally, after much hot toiling, it would seem that Garrus had brought the thing to life. Beep, beep, boop, beep, beep, whirr. The optic on the thing started to flicker as the eye shutters, those were eye shutters, started to move. This thing was turning on. Garrus, quite proud of his own work, finally put on a smile. He set the object down on the floor. In all honesty, he was done with it. He'd probably throw it out the airlock later, or maybe he'd pawn it on Omega. This is fantastic. Not being in space, getting hit by particles of dust, just nice, cozy gravity. Did that thing just talk? At this point, all Garrus could do was stare at the thing. He'd honestly pegged it to be some sort of high-tech security cam or drifting satellite, not whatever it was now. Hello, Garrus spoke, his voice unsure. He raised a hand and waved awkwardly. Hello, the sphere spoke, eye-wide. You're quite, rough-looking. Was that supposed to be a compliment, or just a state of the fact? Thanks, Garrus said. He looked around as if hoping for someone else to join in on the awkward conversation. Legion would probably be a major help right now. Yes, that's good to meet a whatever you are, the sphere said. If you could pick me up, just bend on over, pick me up, and tell me where I am. The sphere's eye darted towards Garrus' hands. The Turian looked down at him and made a face. Well, it couldn't hurt, could it? Garrus bent over and grabbed the sphere, holding it up at eye level. You're on the Normandy, the Turian explained. You're in space. No, don't mention that word. The sphere quickly blurted out, I've had enough of that bloody word. Was this sphere neurotic or something? Sorry, Garrus quietly apologized, although he wasn't sure why he had bothered to do so. Anyway, where did you come from? Your insides look particularly advanced. I'm from a dirty old lab down in Aperture. It's nothing really, just the fact that I was handcrafted out of the top-of-the-line materials that scientists put painstaking hours into. Aperture? Garrus shook his head. Never mind, I don't want to know. The sphere seemed to be mulling something over in its head, and then it finally spoke. So I'm assuming you're a cancer victim of some sort? What would lead you to believe that? Garrus scoffed and shot the sphere an accusatory glare. I mean, it would account for the rather unpleasing appearance. Not that I mean you're ugly, or no, I just meant that you look rather non-human. Yes, that. Gary sighed. I'm a Turian. We come from a high-pressure planet called Palavan. Ah, the sphere said, feigning like he knew what the Turian was talking about. In reality, he had no idea. Makes total and complete sense. Knew that from the beginning, of course. I'm Wheatley, nice to meet you. With air and gravity. The Turian opened his mouth to answer, but something happened behind the sphere interrupted his train of thought. Something was happening. Something was sparking. Oh no, 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 no. Had something gone wrong with his calibrations? With further investigation and after much pointless fretting, Garrus found that his calibrations had not gone wrong. No, it appeared that Wheatley himself was spraying sparks, and quite a lot at that. Would you like me to take a look at that? Garrus offered. I think I can patch that up for you. Without bothering to wait for a response, Garrus turned Wheatley around in his hands and began to address the sparking problem. He pulled the hatch open again and began to fiddle around with the wires, crossing the circuits again and stimulating the sphere's synthetic nerves. Wait, hang on. Just a moment. Don't just... Wait, what? A noise of pleasure? Could robots even feel pleasure? Garrus, his curiosity piqued, began to work with Wheatley's wires again. He crossed them, rubbed them, and twisted them so that they were but sensitive knots. This is where it starts getting good. Wheatley, are you alright? The Turian whispered, concerned. Wheatley's only response was a shuddering moan, and it was a noise so completely wrought with pleasure that it brought a rare blush to Garrus's face. Do it again, the sphere whimpered. Do it again. Would it be rude to deny Wheatley such a privilege? Privilege is spelt priv-e-ledge, like jump off a ledge. Anyway, probably, since it seemed that Wheatley had traveled such a long way. He was probably lonely and feeling quite strange in such a new place. It was Garrus' duty to make him feel comfortable under the Lormany, was it not? Garrus snuck his fingers deeper into Wheatley's warm compartment, and he stroked at the fibrous wires, stimulating the filaments and the sensitive nerves. The inside of him was messily packed with wires. Garrus was doubting the robot's claims of being expertly put together. He was a mess on the inside. A hot mess. Wheatley let out another whimpering moan. It was just like when he was in charge of Aperture, the rush of euphoria when Shell completed the tests. Why were the noises that Wheatley emitted so delicious, so pleasing to Garrus's ears? As time wore on, it was becoming more and more difficult for the Turian to keep his cool. In fact, he was having trouble remembering why he had started fiddling with Wheatley in the first place. All he could think about now was the rush of blood pooling in his nether regions. His Turian manhood was beginning to make his armor more and more uncomfortable. Fuck it. The Turian placed the sphere onto his workstation. Wheatley looked disappointed. Garrus stripped himself of the lower half of his armor, leaving him in his boxers. Turians wear boxers? Anyway, wait, what are you doing? Wheatley panted, panics rising in his voice. Shh, Garrus whispered. He put his hands in his boxers and retrieved the engorged Turian manhood. The AI looked concerned, but not concerned enough to stop Garrus. As he watched, his artificial pupil dilated. Don't worry, Garrus purred and moved his hand back to the AI's exposed panel. Wheatley shuddered. Simultaneously, Garrus began to stroke his swollen length as he fiddled with the wires of the AI. It was surprising how well Wheatley could mimic an organic moan and made it sound so needy and desperate. Garrus groaned throatily as he continued to massage his cock. Wheatley, in turn, moaned like a whore. This was the first time in a long while that Garrus had felt such a raw ecstasy. He knew that even such after a short amount of time that he was on the edge. Wheatley, too, felt an impending end to his orgasmic bliss. It was hard for him to focus on the fornicating Turian smirking at him. Everything was a blur. Soon, all of Wheatley's moans and shuddering noises of pleasure proved to be too much for the well-seasoned Turian. Garrus grit his teeth as to prevent himself from howling too loud in pleasure as he was driven over the edge. His fingers gave a firm tug on Wheatley's wires, which spurred a high-pitched shriek of pleasure out of the AI. Line after line of alien seed leaked and burst from Garrus's stiff appendage, and Wheatley himself reached his climax through a fit of moans and shakes. It seemed that now, on both ends, the waves of pleasure had been surpassed. Spent. All the two could do now was stare at each other. Their gazes carried no hint of regret or resentment, but they oddly enough seemed to be filled with a newfound affection. Garrus, the voice cut through the air like a hot knife through Joker's legs. Sorry. Edie had informed me of some strange noises coming from... Gasping, all Garrus could think to do well now was throw Wheatley into a corner and pray that his commander hadn't seen him. He dared not turn any farther, as he did not want his now flaccid cock on display, but it would seem that harm had already been done. Shepard was staring at Garrus, blue eyes hard and void of emotion. "Garrus," the commander promptly spoke, "put your dick away."
Wheatley? As in the eyeball thing from Portal 2?
As in the spherical thing with the eye with Stephen Merchant's voice.
I'm going to be able to walk the dog smiling today.
Yeah. So, Are you shitting me?
Anyway, it's going to be awesome.
See you guys.
Wait, is Garrus going to try to calibrate Wheatley? Oh, God. I think...
Sweet mother of God. These people exist. There's an idea that never really struck me until a while ago. It's if everything that you see on the internet has been created by somebody, there is somebody out there in the world who sat down and took the time to make this and bring it into existence.
Actually,
there is somebody out there who enjoys this stuff. They exist.
And that's why I never read fanfiction, ever.
That's why I never go outside. Because I'm afraid I'll run into one of these people.
That's why I stand 30 meters away from other people at bus stops.
I'll just be on the other side of the street, excuse me.
Should we do the little wrap-up now?
Wrap it up, kids.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, it's been a truly wild ride, but that's all we have for today. I hope you enjoyed the cast, and you can visit gatheyourparty.com for hard-hitting video game journalism and lunchtime.org.uk for awesome live streaming video almost round the clock. Big thanks to everyone who participated today. That's all for this week. Goodbye, and watch out for tornadoes.
Bye.
What about sausage tornadoes?
Okay, I live in Oklahoma. We have tornadoes all the time. So I will be watching out, actually.
It's good advice. I live in Rugby, you see, and we never have tornadoes. But there was a tornado, like, last week. You know what happened?
Nobody watched out for it?
Nobody watched out for it. It ended up uprooting a tree and a trampoline, and a roof caved in, and 20 chickens were killed.
Oh no!
Oh my chickens. God! Chickens!
20 chickens.
20 chickens.
Not the chickens.
That was
not
the death count.
Jimmy, no!
20 chickens. It was on the news and everything.
Chickens?
You know,
man.
Tornado kills 20 chickens and ruins trampoline.
I thought the tornadoes we had were bad.
Oh, that's pretty rough.
The chickens would have been killed anyway, though, so, it doesn't... It's not really a big loss.
But you can't eat them. They're just dead now.
Yeah,
you can't eat dead things.
No,
you can't eat dead things that haven't been killed by people. It's sort of like, yes, try our new wind-tossed chicken killed by tornado.
Hey, someone somewhere is willing, probably willing to pay a lot of money for that.
Just write like delicacy on the side of that, and people will like, won't grab it right up.
You have like you have some fucking guy down in Oklahoma making a killing on wind tossed chickens. He just goes out there in a pickup full of chickens and lets her go.
Also,
they just wrap their hatches on. Fly them like kites into the tornado.
Tie a chicken to a string and just keep going.
Everything that man says is gold.
Zeman's makes the GLA a wonderful place.
Yep.
Aw, oh, you guys flatter me too much. It's all gonna go to my thighs. And I'm gonna have to work out on the treadmill.
Yeah, you can just run behind GCY. They can give you pointers.